Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome everybody, everyone, everywhere, to the 208th edition of Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, radio, music, interview, sketches, all kinds of cool, weird, strange stuff. A little different every week, we hope, and also kind of the same every week so people don't put on the radio and go, what the hell is this? Except that's what they do anyway, because I'm hosting the show. My name's Dave Lefkowitz, very happy to be here with you, and it's going to be kind of a family affair tonight, in a manner of speaking, because, well, first of all, I have my beloved and wonderful and quite beautiful wife in the studio as she she hugs her little boobies there just to show me how beautiful she is. Actually, this is radio. It's 11 o'clock. Can you actually show your she's sitting across from the glass from me. My lovely wife, Joyce, is shaking her head. She's not going to show me her. There's nobody else in the studio. Wait, I didn't get that on the mic. What was that here?
First you turn off my mic, then you can rate me and insult
me. I mean, just bring that microphone a little more towards you so that not... Yeah, there you go. And tilt it down. Just imagine we're in the bedroom and that's not a microphone. Okay.
I'm going to have you arrested.
As she says it, the mic very phallically just sort of drops and slams onto the table. Yes, dear. My wife, Joyce, not quite making her radio debut because she's been on my show a couple of times, usually pre-recorded things that I've done from home, but now she's laughing, she's all upset. Don't be, and especially because I'm making fun of her, but she's really sweet and wonderful, and we've been married almost 9 years now, so very happy that she's hung with me all day. We had a lovely lunch with my Aunt Esther, so that was great fun, and we were with her for a bit. So, how are you doing, hon?
Well, at least I won't drop the microphone anymore. That's my goal for the show.
It's a start. Think of it as the Dave School of Broadcasting.
Oh,
number one,
my.
When you adjust the mic, don't drop it.
I think I failed, David. I failed badly.
Miserably. There's an F on your first evening.
Oh.
But there's only room to improve now. You couldn't possibly get worse. So.
I would like to do an homage to Jeff. Oh.
Well, you made the joke. Now explain the joke.
Jeff Goodman, David's co-host for the past couple weeks, months, years on Dave's Gone By, became very ill before his trip to Thailand. David had him on the phone for, 2 hours?
Yeah.
And in the last hour, all Jeff could say was, David would say, Jeff, are you there? And Jeff would say, oh, I better hang up now. I don't feel so good. Oh.
He was his own audio gag. And he was falling asleep the whole time.
He fell asleep.
So you hear, like, like, Jeff, I didn't want him to hang up because it was so wonderfully funny. Jeff, so do you agree? I don't care.
I just want to go. Leave me alone. I want to go.
We were talking about our sponsors, and by the way, we should mention our sponsors, so I'd say this is absolutely true. I'd say, well, Jeff, what about Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett? Don't they do a great job with copying and printing? And Jeff would be like, people paying our bills here. Jeff is just, I'm dying here. We can all die together at this stupid copy place. But no, Hewlett Minuteman is pretty wonderful and been around since 1970s. The Torong family has owned them. So you'll hear a little bit about that. Other sponsors include, Hutton, do you want to step up to the plate on this one?
Performing Arts Insider.
Beautiful. What is Performing Arts Insider?
I've been told it's the Bible of Broadway,
uh-huh.
And it's under the umbrella of Total Theater.
Very, very good. And it's a magazine where you learn what's on and off Broadway, plus dance, cabaret, opera, special events and awards coming up during the year. It's really a one-stop place
and
to find out.
And David, rumors of what's going to come to Broadway.
That's right, the rumor section. Very good, honey.
Very spicy, I read. I was very shocked.
And sometimes reviews, but there hasn't even been space for them because there's just so much other information. So PerformingArtsInsider.com is the place to find out about Performing Arts
and Insider. And MortgagesRock.com.
Yeah!
I love that website.
MortgagesRock.com. Now, you know what's different about MortgagesRock.com.
I know.
What?
The staff is hot.
Well, Andy Leibowitz is a young, fairly good-looking fella, I guess, if you like this sort of, you know, Jewish Long Island types, which I guess you do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But aside from that, what is it about MortgagesRock.com as opposed to a regular, like, mortgage broker?
Well, they try to educate you about mortgages.
Yeah, baby. That's it. You got it. This is why
ding,
I married
ding,
her.
Ding, ding, ding,
because God knows it wasn't for the cooking. But, you know, I can't. I can't. I joke. I love. Nobody makes a salad, you know, quite like my wife.
And why do I feel I'm being roasted?
I don't have the comedy bell tonight, so can't really do that on the puns. But I think we hit them all. MortgagesRock.com. Oops. And a little shout-out to our friend Jeff Goodman, who for the month of February is not really dealing with his business, fancy schmancy balloons, but once he gets back, especially that the spring comes, people will have their graduations,
bar mitzvahs.
Fancy schmancy balloons. Take this number down. Save it for when you have a party or an occasion. 797-3229. 516-797-3229 for centerpieces and special balloons for your party. He doesn't do flowers, but all the other things that make a party look like a party, that's what he does. Speaking of a party, we're going to have a party on the air tonight. Just two of us. So I brought the condoms. You brought the jelly.
Again, David.
Yes?
Your life, this show will be a chronicle of a death foretold. And guess whose death it will be.
That's an easy one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what we are going to do, I'm going to talk to you a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Both about your stuff, our stuff, and the weather, and the horrible things like that.
Yes.
Plus some happy stuff, including
Yay. The
birthday, of my father.
Papa Lefkowitz.
Philip Lefkowitz is going to be 70 years young.
Seven.
Oh, explain that.
In the Lefkowitz family tradition, age is not calculated in real numbers. You actually take the sum of your birthday and add it together. So David's father is going to be 70, but 7 plus 0 is 7. So technically, in the Lefkowitz family tradition, David's father is reaching 7 years old.
There you go. So a perfectly explained thing. It's completely insane, but
I didn't make it up. I just tell it like it is.
So this Friday, so we're going to be doing a happy birthday, Dad. So later on in the show, Joyce is going to talk about meeting my folks for the first time and some other dad stories. If she's looking blank.
I remember.
It wasn't particularly memorable, I guess. And some other thoughts about my father. But since she's only known him fairly casually, as opposed to biblically, for 9 years, or actually 10 now, because we were dating for a year and a half.
Only officially, though.
Only, but yeah, 9 years we've been married, and 1 year was just about the sex. But you know, I'm talking about me and my dad. But you know,
oh, David,
I don't know what that means. So, also, someone who knew, or I thought, knew my dad a little more than that, his own sister. Bonnie Pinkow.
Oh, my God.
Who happens to be my aunt. Funny how these family things work out like that. So anyway, wanted to talk to Aunt Bonnie about what it was like having Dad for a brother, an older brother. And so we're going to do that a little bit later in the show. The other thing that we're going to do, it isn't just going to be about my little insular family. It's not that hermetic tonight. Because, thanks to Performing Arts Insider, we also have Inside Broadway. And I'll be telling you all the big news on and off Broadway this weekend. There's quite a lot of stuff going on. So we'll be getting to that in just a couple of minutes, actually. But back, apparently, the internet said that January 24th, the day after my birthday, is the most depressing day of the year. I don't know why. It is not the shortest day of the year. That happened in December. But, you know, the weather's icky. There's no holidays particularly right around that. And yet, I have to feel like last week, this past one that we just lived through, had to be the most ugh and depressing week. I mean, the winter hit us, We've had, I didn't even realize this, we've had below normal temperatures for a couple of weeks now. Didn't feel like, because it wasn't snowing, it wasn't horrible bad weather, it was just colder, but not even like zero or minus 2 or 4 degrees above zero. It was cold. Okay, cold. And there'd be rain sometimes and it was a little warmer. But boom, this week we got hit with a thing. Now Joyce and I live on the South Shore, so we were shocked to come up here to the radio station, which is not in Freeport, even though we say it's in Freeport. The tower's there. We're in Babylon. Mm-hmm. And we thought, oh, God, you know, to get out here even 4 days after the big storm that we had, it's just going to be ice everywhere and worse, maybe more snow and colder. And what do you know? We get out, there's not even snow on the fields of the high schools, and there's nothing on the grass. It's like they have maybe an inch and it all cleared up and warmed where we live. Tell, Joyce.
Well, you tell them about your unfortunate incident, David. Well, David meets snow. David goes boom.
No good deed goes unpunished. I never remembered this motto. You know, when you try and do something nice, you get screwed.
What's the moral of this story underneath it all?
Wear good boots.
When a man goes out wearing boots that are older than half the population of the town and takes a header.
Well, I was wise enough not to wear sneakers. I mean, give me that. Give me credit that I figured I needed snow.
You were wearing space boots, David, from the 70s. I think Rick James wore them in his last video.
First of all, I don't even know if I got those boots from me or they came from you at some
point. I've never seen them.
Really?
I think the Moonanites brought them.
No, they were not that evil. Although they I was doing good. I was doing a good thing. This woman was crossing right by the railroad. And this is, by the way, something everybody's so damn worried about. The Gap. The Long Island Railroad. Watch the Gap. Don't fall into the Gap. One drunk girl gets crushed in the Gap. Oh, you know, how about not being so drunk and just watching where you're going? Okay. But when we cross the tracks over, and this is a regular actual crossing thing, not like a platform or not underneath, it's just where cars cross, and then gates go down when the train's coming, and then you can't cross there. They go up once the train's gone, and you pass. Nobody shovels that. Nobody from the railroad, nobody from the town deals with that. It's the most slippery thing ever when you're trying to go from where the tracks are across the other way. So a woman is walking down, not an old woman, but a little older than I am.
Was she 16?
If she were 16, I would have followed her. I kid. I'm only an 18-year-old with big... Anyway, I kid. So this older than me woman is walking, and to be nice, I go to the side and let her pass. If I were smart, I just sort of stood there, but I want to progress forward also. So I go forward, but where I'm standing is more of a slope. So she's walking, I start walking, vroom, my leg goes out from under me, I land, fall on my arm. I fell, tried to break my fall with my hand on the ice. Of course, I wasn't wearing gloves. So if I had been wearing gloves, I wouldn't have been hurt at all.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little sore arm out of the deal for a few days. It's still a little bit sore. But I'm thinking, when you go out in weather like that, and it's still like that 4 days later, even after a little bit of melting the last 2 days, it's horrible down where, like, the South Shore area over more towards Queens and New York. I mean, Mayor Bloomberg did that thing in the city about not, you know, honoring... Or
suspending.
I mean, he went back on that. Mm-hmm. He apologized and realized what an idiot he was. But this was the kind of snow. A lot of times in the old days, you have a snowstorm, and a couple of days later, people's walks were unshoveled and things. Mm-hmm. And you would go, what the hell are they waiting? You got to shovel this. Mm-hmm. This is part of what being a homeowner is. It's your responsibility. But in this particular case, the snow was such that it was pure ice and stuck there, melted a little, refroze and became even slipperier 2 days later. It's impossible to shovel it. And to think that, you know, he was angry at people that they weren't getting their car. They couldn't. And it's really, I don't know what the town can do, but certainly better than store owners or just homeowners can do a little better, I think. Do you agree?
I think that all the townspeople who clean the snow are on JetBlue.
Well, the roads, the major roads, Mill Road and Pencil Boulevard, those were clear. But the side streets, you know, they're flat because they were ridden over and people had to walk over them.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of ways, the flatness isn't good because that melts a little bit And as soon as it gets cold and it refreezes and becomes more slippery than it had been.
Or at least they could put sand for traction.
Yeah, that's good. More sand. Do
but
something.
You know why people don't like the sand? Because it gets in their houses. Because when you have it on your boots, you bring it in. People don't like that.
Okay.
But it's much better traction.
Well, you know, we have two dogs, and so when we come into our kitchen, whenever we bring out, there's pee and dog poo on the floor. So a little bit of sand. Bring on the sand.
I'm talking about normal people, David, not us.
I'll just throw sand on the poo. It'll save me having to stoop down and clean it up.
Aww.
Anyway, we've got to clean up our act and get to Inside Broadway, which we will do right after a couple of quick messages. This is Dave's Gone By. Don't go away. You don't have to pay big bucks on Broadway to enjoy a funny play. You could sit in the comfort of your living room, or bedroom, and read a whole book of hilarious comedies by the one and only me, Dave Lefkowitz. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, filled with my unique humor, satire, and spoofery. If you like my show, you'll love my book. $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Buy it at davesgoneby.org. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. That says it all, doesn't it?
But if it told me every hour, listen to me.
That's right, buddy. Listen to me anytime you want, because Dave's Gone By episodes are preserved on compact disc. Entire shows with a nice cover, track listings, own your favorite shows, or give a Dave's Gone By CD gift. DavesGoneBy.org has an episode guide, and you can order there, too. $11 for CDs, shipping included. Add $1 for autographs. Go to DavesGoneBy.org, buy a CD, and listen to me. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and yes, it is time for Broadway and Off-Broadway with Inside Broadway, and got just bunches and bunches of news and things to tell you about that happening this week, or happened in the past week, on and off the stages of New York, including more news about Tom Stoppard. Oh, I know everybody. Wow, you mean there's more Tom Stoppard news? Well, yeah, because The Coast of Utopia is such a big, kind of a snob hit, but it's a real big hit over at Lincoln Center. This is this trilogy of plays that Stoppard wrote about Russia just before and around the before the 20s Revolution and what happened and what led up to it. And it's this big, epic trilogy of plays, and it's just doing fabulously, and the third one is going to start in late February and early March. So, they've already announced plans to bring another Tom Stoppard play to Broadway. It's called Rock and Roll, and it's going to be coming in the next coming fall, 2007. Trevor Nunn, who directed Nicholas Nickleby and Cats and Les Mis and Sunset Boulevard, is going to be directing Rock and Roll. And instead of Russia, this one is about Czechoslovakia. And it covers the years between the Prague Spring and the Velvet Revolution. So it's that 1960s to the era just around the whole Glasnost period. And it's been a hit in Russia. Sinead Cusack and Brian Cox were the original leads there. Not sure if they're going to be coming with it, or they'll get an American cast, and so that's something to look out for. Stoppard's Rock and Roll coming to Broadway in a couple of months. Speaking of people who are coming back to Broadway, maybe, there has been this rumor that Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick might go back into the producers. The show is going to probably end in June. They'll end the show, then there's going to be a short run of something else, and assumedly Young Frankenstein, if it's ready, will come into that theater. But rumor has it that for the last few weeks of the run of the producers, Lane and Broderick are coming back. Lane, according to the New York Post, wants to do it because they'll be making about $200,000 a week to do the play. Broderick is not so into it. He's worried that the magic is off the rose or the bloom of their pairing. The Odd Couple was very, very popular when they did that last year, but Broderick didn't get that great reviews, and Nathan Lane didn't get terrific reviews in Butley, and the show didn't exactly sell out. So maybe together, or maybe the magic is still there, and they're just holding out for an extra, I don't know, $30,000 a week. Oh, someone shoot me. Hon, did you bring the gun?
No, honey.
Honey, what did I ask you? What did I ask you to do when we got to the radio station? I asked you to pack a snack, okay, to carry the number of the cab, and to bring the gun. You know? 9 years. 9 years, she still doesn't listen. Anyway,
if I had the gun, you wouldn't want me to have the gun.
Moving right along, there's a rumor also, speaking of Broadway, that Follies is Broadway bound again because Encores, they're those folks who do those, they're concert versions with costumes but not much props and not much movement. It's kind of a concert version of a musical. That's where Chicago came from, the revival of it. Well, they did a couple of performances of Stephen Sondheim's Follies with people like Donna Murphy and Victoria Clark, who was in Light in the Piazza, and Victor Garber, who TV people would know from Alias, and Michael McGrath, who was in Spamalot. I mean, it's really cool or hot Broadway cast. People loved it. They were excited by it. You know, the blogs and the web things just exploded with people saying, oh, well, this song didn't quite work. This song was wonderful. It was one of the greatest things ever. And it's Sondheim, so, of course, people are like, it's got to come back to Broadway. And the last Follies revival was kind of eh, that the Roundabout did. So people are really, really hoping, and producers are swarming around it. Will it happen? Hard to say at this point. There's a problem in that Donna Murphy, who is one of the stars of the staging, is already set to do another Broadway musical in the spring. She's doing a Kurt Weill review called Love Music that's being directed by Hal Prince. So if they can work around that problem, one gets the feeling that they will find a theater for Follies and bring it in there as soon as they can. And just wanted to let you know, speaking of a show that's definitely happening on Broadway, an old play from World War I called Journey's End, written by R.C. Sheriff. It was written shortly after the war. It opens this Thursday, February 22nd. Boyd Gaines is probably the best known person in it. He played the boyfriend of Barbara on One Day at a Time. So he's a little older now, so he gets to play this colonel or major, one of these things. It's a World War I drama. I've read the play. It's pretty good, and it gets, you know, all about the psychology and this guy who feels guilty and he's supposed to be heroic, but he knows that he's not such an amazing hero. But unfortunately, that affects his decision-making. Anyway, Journey's End, opening on Thursday. And one more Broadway piece of news. The Pirate Queen, starting previews at the Hilton Theater. My wife is grimacing. And she's not crazy about Broadway theater to begin with. And I've seen the commercials for this one, and they're pushing the aspect that makes it look like Riverdance.
Oh.
My wife and I sat for Riverdance a few years ago, and the two of us were like,
the horror.
Well, that was another night we wish they would have confiscated the gun if we had brought it to the theater. But hey, the credentials on this are pretty solid. It's Alain Boublil and Claude Michel Schoenberg.
Who are they?
They were the folks who created Les Mis. And also Miss Saigon.
Could you say those names again,
David? I love saying the French. Alain Boublil and Claude Michel Schoenberg. Adapting a novel by Morgan Llewellyn called Grania, She King of the Irish Sea.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, I think it was playing in Chicago, and the reviews were okay. Not great, but not bad either. So, I get it, that's what it's going to be, but people might like it because of the Irish stuff, and it's going to be a big spectacle. The Pirate Queen, it's at the Hilton Theater, starts previews this Friday, and then it's going to open in mid-March. Got to do a commercial. We'll be back with more Inside Broadway on Dave's Gone By after this. The best Broadway magazine just got better. More listings, more contact numbers, more inside information in Performing Arts Insider. And not just Broadway, off-Broadway, off-off, dance, cabaret, opera. As one dramaturg put it, Performing Arts Insider is a gold mine of information for the theater professional. 21 times a year at your doorstep, the whole world of theater, with 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Visit PerformingArtsInsider.com or call 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511. Performing Arts Insider. It's Broadway the best way. But it's not just Broadway, of course. It's off-Broadway, too. And we are doing some off-Broadway news on Inside Broadway on Dave's Gone By, including just some bits of news about various things, including another old play, That's being revived at the Vineyard Theater and opening on Tuesday, the 20th. It's Mary Rose by J.M. Barrie. Joyce is nodding about this one.
I wanted you to take myself and Mom to that. I read it's upcoming in PAI.
Wow. Why do you want to see this particular... Oh, I can't, because it's about a woman, or what's the...
Well, Mary Rose is the name of, I guess, my two grandmothers.
Oh!
But also Rosemary is taken from her grandmother, so it's her name, and it's about a woman who forgets.
Yes.
She loses her memory. I just read it in PAI.
Oh, good for you, honey. Thanks for, A, knowing about the theater, and B,
remembering.
I mean, it's true. It's this weird thing of this woman goes away from her family for about 3 weeks, just disappears, and then she comes back as if nothing has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's a commentary on things. And you know what J.M. Barrie's most famous play is?
I don't want...
Peter Pan.
So
he's quite a talented fella. If you want to see it, it's and it stars Keir DeLay, a name that really is best not remembered because he played the astronaut in 2001, A Space Odyssey. So if you want to see him up close and personal at the Vineyard Theater, he's in Mary Rose, opening on Tuesday and running through March 11th. Here's a reminder, speaking of a bunch of off-Broadway shows, I'm not sure if Mary Rose is one of them. I think it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But between March 4th and March 11th, I said this last week, they're having a special because in this weather, people, they want to get people to the theater. $20 per ticket. Now, if you think maybe you haven't been to off-Broadway theater in a while, that's no big deal. Off-Broadway tickets are now between $50 and $80. That's what they are for one ticket. Because suddenly producers got wise to the fact that, wait a minute, yes, Broadway tickets are astronomical, but off-Broadway can often be better, and you're much, all the seats are usually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Often you're not in the boonies, you're, whatever seat in the house is pretty good. Maybe we should start charging really big prices for that. And immediately, they did. So off-Broadway went from being $20, $25 to $60, $70, $80. However, on this coming week, not next week, but March 4th through 11th, and I'll be reminding people pretty much every week till then, if you show up at the box office for 20 minutes before the curtain and they have any seats left, they're all $20 each for a bunch of shows. Everything from A Jew Grows in Brooklyn, very popular Altar Boys, 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother, God or Merman, The Fever, The Fantastics, The Gazillion Bubbles Show, I Love You, You're Perfect Now Change, Zootopia, Naked Boys Singing. You can bring your binoculars, they won't charge you extra. Perfect Crime, Stomp, The Voisey Inheritance, bunches and bunches of things. For the whole list, go to offbroadway.com. And, let's hear a little bit of music because we've got to close Inside Broadway for this week. Some sad news. I told you it was a depressing week with the winter and then all that stuff. Let's pair... Well, this is beautiful, but it goes into something kind of sad.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with the mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you for that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there, and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art.
Beautiful version of a beautiful song, Mona Lisa. Unfortunately, one of the men who wrote that song died this past week on Thursday. Joyce is making a really sad thing.
Horrible, David. Well, this is beautiful song, the guy's dead.
Hey, the happy news about that was he lived until 92. Not too bad.
He's still dead.
Still very dead. Our top story tonight, Ray Evans, who was born in upstate New York and collaborated for 60 of those 92 years with Jay Livingston. They met in college. They wrote a couple of Broadway shows together, O Captain in 1959 and Let It Ride, the horse racing one, in 1961. They also wrote two songs for Sugar Babies, but they're best known for their movie songs, Buttons and Bows, Mona Lisa, which I just played the Nat King Cole version, and Que Sera Sera. They wrote that. They also wrote Silver Bells, the great Christmas anthem. I hate Christmas music, but I used to love hearing that song, swear to God, when Channel 4 would have all these people from New York. Everybody's got to remember this. This is about 30 years ago. In their commercials, maybe 20 years ago, during the holiday season, including their newscasters and also just like sanitation workers. And they would all take a line from Silver Bells, soon it will be Christmas. And I just remember like these two. They were either construction workers or sanitation guys. Right. Sidewalks, city sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. And then I think Al Roker chimed in with, in the air there's a feeling of Christmas. It was the only Christmas song I could tolerate when I was younger. And it was because of that. But anyway, Ray Evans, co-writer of that and so many other tunes, including the TV themes for Bonanza and Mr. Ed, died this past week. Also, the curtain called for Stephen Pimlott, English theater director. He died on Valentine's Day, 52 years old, of lung cancer. Why is Joyce laughing and frowning at the same time? We want to mention these people.
He died on Valentine's Day, David, of lung cancer. It's like, how horrible could you mix this up?
Told you it was a depressing week.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, everybody's so, ooh, Britney Spears shaved her head. Yeah, but the guy who wrote Mona Lisa died. I mean, you know, that's more important,
I think. Killed him. I think he heard that and then he had a heart attack.
Well, Stephen Pimlott did a lot of work for the National Theater, for the RSC, English things. And he also, on Broadway, directed Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and Bombay Dreams, which bombed. Mm-hmm. But still, there was some cool stuff about both those productions. And one more. This was actually the real shocker. On Thursday, Daniel MacDonald died. He was 46 years old, died of brain cancer. He was the youngest of seven children and leaves behind a wife, two kids, and his parents. So that's like sad. He basically best known, he made his Broadway debut as the aviator in 1997's Steel Pier, a Candor and Ebb show, which he was a Tony nominee for, won a Theatre World Award, and then the following season he was in High Society playing C.K. Dexter, another musical that didn't do so well. And so we're going to play at the very end of this program a song called First You Dream from the Steel Pier, with Daniel MacDonald and his co-star in that show, Karen Ziemba. So I want to say farewell to all of them, but we, here at Dave's Gone By,
yay,
will be back after this with my Aunt Bonnie.
Yay, Aunt Bonnie.
Yay, Aunt Bonnie. And Jaeger Performing Arts Insider, who brings us Inside Broadway. We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. D is for Dave, F is for fun, S is for silly and special, X is for excellent entertainment, DFSX, Internet Radio, playing vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By, Saturday nights at 11. It's part of Live 365, but all you gotta do is visit davesgoneby.org. Click the link and listen online to classic Dave's Gone By, Saturdays at 11. DFSX, letters that stand for terrific.
This is Dave's Aunt Bonnie calling from Hewlett, New York. You're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB. Enjoy it.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday evening. It's February 18th, and just a few days before a rather big important day in my family, my immediate family, because my dad is having a birthday on Friday, and it's a big birthday. It's the big one. It's 70. Kind of hard to believe. And Dan has been a guest on Dave's Gone By quite a few times, sometimes pre-planned, and you know, I'll interview him, and he'll be telling stories about his life and growing up and being in the service and working in the courts over the years. And sometimes he'll just call in because he's a regular listener to the program, and I sure hope he's listening tonight. But I thought I'd do something a little different for this pre-birthday show of his and ask someone else about him, which we can have a different slant on things. Unfortunately, both of my grandparents are gone. And Mom, my wonderful mother, Brenda Lefkowitz, will just hates being on the radio, hates hearing the sound of her voice, and won't do it. But Dad does have a sister, my aunt, Aunt Bonnie, Bonnie Pinkow, and she has consented very kindly to go on the air for just a few minutes to give her thoughts on her perspective and years sort of growing up with Dad, even though there's kind of an age difference. So let's get right into it. Bonnie, are you with us?
I sure am.
Well, good to hear you. Good. How's the new year been treating you so far?
So far, so good.
Well, thank God. I mean, I know Lester has been under, you know, the weather for a while with these unfortunate... What is it exactly, by the way?
It's a blood condition where he's severely anemic, but it's getting better, so that's all that counts.
Well, God willing. I hope so. And it's, and you, by the way, have three kids of your own.
I certainly do. Adam, who is engaged to Marnie.
Mm-hmm,
Jesse, who's going with a young man named Adam.
Okay.
And Josh, who is a junior in college in Maryland.
And he's going with 10 different women, so there you go.
Better I shouldn't know.
Possibly a couple of men. No. All right. I kid. But what we're really here to talk about is my dad, your brother, Philip Lefkowitz. So you, well, I mean, you of course, grew up with him for a bunch of years, but what's the difference? How you, what is it, 11 years apart?
Almost 11 years.
Which,
he is the older one.
Okay, so that makes you... All right.
A mere child.
But that also means that you weren't particularly... I don't want to use the word close in a negative sense, but there was a gap growing up all the time. You didn't really see him that much once you were old enough to be conscious of his presence.
Well, he still lived at home until he got married.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a constant, very important presence in my life, but I can't say we played together because the age difference would not allow that. Although, now that you just mentioned the word play, I can remember when we were very, very, or I was very, very young, and there were still records and record players.
Uh-huh.
I had my little children's records, which I gave to you.
I remember.
Which took what? 2.5 seconds for a song, a whole record.
Oh,
and
well,
he
yeah.
had his records, which were considerably longer. And I guess the way he was able to listen to his records is by saying, one for you and one for me. So he had to listen to his very long records, and then he would put on one very short record of mine.
See, that had a sense of fairness and a sense of self-preservation at the same time. I certainly caught that, that's for sure. What other memories do you have of Dad from when you were either very young or your early teen years, maybe?
Well, remember, when I was in my early teens, he was already married.
Oh, wow, okay.
He got married when I was, I think, 14.
So everything before that was a blur? From like 14 to zero,
no,
you remember nothing about my father?
Even the years before that, he was at your mother's house a lot of the time.
Uh-huh.
And he was in the service for 6 months. So while I have very small, strong memories of him, it wasn't the same kind of interactions I would have had with a sibling who was closer in age and who was home. For instance, if I wanted to do anything, I would never go to my parents. They were very old world and would not allow anything. So whatever I wanted to do, I ran it by Philip. If Philip said yes, then I was allowed to do it. And if Philip said no, that's it.
So what kind of things did he say yes to and what kind of things did he say no to?
I don't remember him ever saying no.
Good older brother, yeah.
Actually, well, I was a wimpy younger sister, I guess.
Right.
What
was it, like staying up an hour late or something, or what?
When I wanted to go to Europe when I graduated from college.
Well,
that's not something that my parents would ever have allowed in those years.
Well, you would have been old enough to actually sort of do that on your own.
Well,
not on your own money, but
you didn't do it. You didn't do it without your parents' permission and everything else.
Did you do it?
Yes, but I was sent, Philip said I could do it. But, of course, I had to go with Cousin Michael, which was fabulous.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful, wonderful time together. And I had to call home, of course, very frequently, my parents and, of course, your parents' house.
So every 4 hours you had to make a phone call somewhere in the States.
Right, you know.
Pretty well. You rent for close to a year? You really did? That's fantastic.
Yeah, a year.
It was 3 weeks.
Four weeks, which was between graduating from college and starting to work.
Oh, so it wasn't like you were going away. You went for a month.
Yeah.
A vacation.
Yeah.
Well, good for Dad for giving you the permission on that.
Well, you remember your grandparents. They weren't overly...
Well, yeah, let's have some memories then also, because this, I guess, would be of interest to Dad as well, of things involving Grandma Lucy and Grandpa Sam. I mean, any thoughts on them and growing up in that household?
Well, my father worked 6.5 days a week through all the years.
In a drugstore?
In the drugstore. And the drugstore, he had to take 2 buses to get to and 2 buses to get home. He was held up, I don't remember, it was 24, 27 times over the years.
It's amazing how after the first 20 times you lose count.
I can remember my mother hanging out of the window on Ocean Parkway because he didn't get off the bus she expected him to at 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And waiting to make sure that he was okay, or being called by the police and having them have to run over because they robbed him and locked him in this little teeny bathroom. So...
But didn't he also have some kind of guardian angel, in a manner of speaking, who also said, hey, everything okay?
Well, if there was one gentleman, and this is when I was very, very, very young.
From a particular organization, yeah.
That used to check in with him. Oh, not that often. He must have either been friendly through the neighborhood, because my father was a very mild-mannered gentleman. He would never, ever, ever do anything that was even slightly not right.
Mm-hmm.
But this person used to come every couple of months and say, everything okay, Sam? Need anything? Anybody bothering you? My father said, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
So did the man's last name end in, like, Eni or...
I don't remember. I was very, very
young. Or Oni, yeah.
I think I'll have to ask your dad. He'll probably remember.
And any thoughts on Grandma Lucy, who was real this matriarchal figure on that side of the family, I guess.
Very, very. She ran the house. She ran everything, yeah. But in those years, with your father working the way he did, she had to. She was very, very involved with her children, loved her children dearly. But I have to say, when she passed away and I was talking to the rabbi, and your parents were there, and he asked, well, tell me about your mother, give me a little insight. I said, oh, she loved her children very much, but I have to say, she loved her grandchildren more. And in a contest, her grandchildren won every time.
Well, hey, you know, look at you and Dad, and look at me. I mean, you know, Adam and Sam, but especially me. I mean, can you blame her?
No, couldn't blame her. But they were, her grandchildren were the apple of her eye. She adored them. They made, I think, her life worth living.
Cool. Any thoughts? You told a really cool grandma story about her going away. I mean, she as strong as a person as she was in keeping the family together, she did love to travel. That was very cool about her.
That. She loved to travel, and had my father been well, they would have gone many more places. But on her first trip to Israel, which was someplace she wanted to go for years and years and looked forward to it, and this was a desire of a lifetime. We all went to the airport. You were a baby. I, of course, was staying with you at your house because I wasn't allowed to stay home alone.
So you were kind of a baby, too, in a manner of speaking.
Well, not that much. I was probably 16,
17. Right.
17.
Man.
But anyway, I was with you. We watched them get on the plane, and at that point, it was very exciting. You were able to see them get on the plane and waving goodbye and everything, and then we're waiting for the plane to take off,
mm-hmm.
and the door opens, and someone walks down the steps. It was Grandma Lucy. She decided not to go. She couldn't leave her children.
Oh, brother.
Then appeared Grandpa Sam. And, yes, they went to Israel, and she got back on the plane.
Who did the convincing?
Oh, I've never seen my father really upset, but I think that time he must have been.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's just bad. I don't know what he said, but good for him. You rock! Yeah, yeah, you rock! You know what else rocks? Mortgages rock! Yeah, because MortgagesRock.com gives you the chance to help your friends get the loans they need. College loans, home improvement, new trailer. MortgagesRock.com helps you help them. And the more work you do, the more commission you get. Full service, fully licensed, MortgagesRock.com has real experts on the phone, at the website, in the office, making you a bigger, better broker. MortgagesRock.com, we're making money never sounded so good. Rock on, mortgages!
Hello, this is Dave Zamboni from Hewlett, New York. You're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB. Enjoy it.
So, by the way, we're talking with Bonnie Pinkow, who is my aunt and my dad's sister. And we're just talking about old family times as a special thing for my dad's 70th birthday that's coming up on Friday. And wanted to know if you have any more thoughts about Dad in later years, in say, the last 20, 30 years. Because we're all sort of living, not together, but rather close to each other on Long Island.
Well, we all live close together because when Les and I had Adam and were thinking of a house, we went to look on Long Island because that's where the rest of the family was.
Uh-huh.
And we bought a house, and I asked my mother if she would move to Long Island to be close to me. After all, I was her daughter, and she said she would not move from one child to another, ever.
Hmm.
And she didn't. So, I would say about 6 months after we moved to Long Island, your parents started to look for a house
right.
in the same town, which is what we had hoped from the beginning. And as soon as your parents moved to Long Island, then Grandma Lucy finally moved out of Brooklyn, where she had lived her whole life, and she moved to Long Island because the family had to be together.
Well,
and that's why you guys were all brought up so close together.
Yeah, and also it's a pretty nice area, and then it was a nice little house. I mean, you know, it's not like we all moved to Brownsville or something. That
no,
would have been interesting.
It was nice that we chose the same area.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it worked out rather well, I think.
Absolutely. But your father, when I was pregnant with Adam, was so excited that when I went into labor,
mm-hmm.
my parents came to the hospital. Les's parents came to the hospital.
Les, your husband, uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. Your mother came to the hospital. Your father actually left work. Philip left work to come to the hospital. And you were there, too.
Interviewing
the doctor.
Right.
Which we still have on tape.
I did indeed. I was already trying to do radio back then.
And you did a great job.
Well, thank you. I have that tape somewhere. But the cool thing is, I mean, were people laughing at Dad because he took a day off from work?
They couldn't believe that he cared enough about his kid sister's baby or his kid sister to come to the hospital. But I'll tell you something else. When Stephanie was born and she was so sick for a short time.
Yeah.
And they sent me home from the hospital, and I was very upset. New mothers are very upset.
Right, yeah.
But I had to leave my baby in the hospital. Well, we were staying at Grandma's, of course, in Brooklyn, not at the house in Long Island. We hadn't, Grandma hadn't moved yet. And your mother and father were at her apartment, and I was crying, I guess, because Stephanie was in the hospital and I had to come home.
Right.
And your father stands up. Les said, "Where are you going, Phil?" He says, "I'm going to the hospital. I'm going to sleep at the hospital. My sister's upset. The baby's alone.
Huh.
I'm sleeping at the hospital." Les didn't let him go to the hospital.
Oh, well.
I, of course, said, "Good, go." But Les would not let him go to the hospital.
It was a nice effort on everybody's part, I guess, is the upshot of all that.
It made me feel good that she wouldn't be alone.
Well,
he wouldn't have been with her anyway. So.
I mean, she won't have any memory of that. I mean, I don't think you could ask Stephanie now and say, "Hey, remember when Dad almost went to the hospital to see you when you were a dot?"
I don't think so.
No, probably not.
The kids do have a very strong very strong memories of going to your house
And
having play dates, not with you.
No. I didn't want to deal with him.
Well, you were pretty good, but
no. Adam, I play a lot with Adam. Adam was very ubiquitous at a certain age.
Yes, but do you know who they had their play dates with?
Oh, God, I'm not a priest, I hope. Oh, with that, really? Okay.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right, the pool table and...
That's right.
Yeah. I remember that. And it's, you guys still come over fairly often, and the kids still manage to make it, even though they're full grown. I mean, as you said, you've got, the son is engaged, and Stephanie's seeing somebody, and Josh is out in college, but, the family still isn't so broken up that nobody sees each other except once a year everybody flies in.
Oh, God.
Well, stuff happens.
It does, but hopefully not to our family.
Okay. The matriarchal grandma influence continues unabated.
Absolutely.
So any wishes, any thoughts for Dad on his 70th birthday from his little sister Bonnie?
I'm glad you put in little sister.
All right, well, yeah, younger sister, baby sister.
Only that we love
Fiegel
him very
sister.
Much.
Uh-huh.
And he is a very, very special and very, very wonderful older brother and uncle.
Hear, hear.
And we look forward to being together for many, 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 many more birthdays.
Holla bye. Thank you, Bonnie. I want to wish you health and, of course, Lester health, too, and the kids and everybody. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I know you were so reticent, and you didn't, you're like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't remember anything, and this is not my thing. But you did great. You're fabulous.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for being in the Daverhood.
Well, we love you all.
Minute Man, the superheroes of photocopying, printing and binding. Minute Man, no job too big or small. Minute Man, family run since 1975. Minute Man, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island, next to the new Lowman's Shoe Store. Tell them Dave sent you for 10% off. Minuteman, hero of our photocopying dreams. Do you know how easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30 or 60 second ad or sponsor a show segment or the whole show. Just go to davesgoneby.org to see the rates. Or call 516-295-1511, 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience. Advertise on Dave's Gone By. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, February 18th, 2007, just a few days before my dad's birthday. And I want to wish him, of course, a big old happy. That was my Aunt Bonnie talking about him. I've also got my wonderful wife, Joyce Weil, in the studio. She's backing away from the microphone, though, because she says it's stinky. What do you mean it's stinky?
It has an odor. The microphone cover needs to be Febrezed.
And this is a relatively new microphone cover. The old ones were not only stinky and covered with, like, lipstick and drool, but they were half-chewed. Some of them apparently got so hungry that they started eating microphone covers a while back. Anyway, by the way, Dad, if you are listening and you want to get on the air for the last few minutes of this program, we'd love to have you on and wish you a happy birthday here, even though it's not until Friday, your official birthday, but this is your birthday show. So if you want to give me a buzz at 631-888-8811, area code 631-888-8811. Would love to have you on the air for a couple of minutes. But until then, we have a couple of minutes left in the program. Got Joyce here. And first of all, I want to congratulate you once more on your dissertation and for making it through that.
Thank you.
How do you feel? Are you past the post-PhD depression, post-FUDM?
I think I'm getting a little bit better.
Okay. No? Are you a little more hopeful about finding a fellowship or something?
I would love to get a fellowship.
So what are the options, quickly?
The one that I really want is at Rutgers in New Jersey.
Okay.
And I hope I get that. If not, we'll see what happens, and if not, I'll get a straight job.
The concept of wanting something in New Jersey is...
It'll smell better than the microphone cover.
Nicely put. So do you remember a couple of thoughts about my dad before we close the show?
I have this image when I first met your parents of your mom basically she was going to retire, but they kept calling her back to work. And every week she was saying, I know that they're going to end the job and they're going to close the, you know, the company. And then she'd be working again. And this went on. And I have this other image of your father, your mother saying, Philip, you have to water the tomato plants. And it was a sunny day. And your father's like, I just want breakfast. And she's like, no, Philip, apparently they're very tender plants that are delicate and need watering. And he went out in the garden and was watering tomato plants.
They're not that delicate. In fact, they're hardy enough that the tomato plants actually grow with any success. We have the occasional pickle or
and
cucumber.
Fig, and fig, right.
Well, the figs, yeah. Figs used to be really good. But, I mean, no luck with any other kind of vegetable. No beets, no carrots, nothing. But tomatoes, they can withstand the next atomic blast. You still get a tomato or two. They'd be green or maybe purple at that point. But yeah, and it was cool that Dad was still working in the garden at that point. I mean, Dad, over the past few years, has had mobility issues and is pretty much wheelchair bound at this point, which is unfortunate. But, you know.
But still, I also remember, David, you asked how you like him, that he enjoyed reading in Passover. He was very, not theatrical, but his presence and the style. And he had a way about him. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
I know, but Passover's not been for a while.
Right.
And, you know, that sort of reading, it's very much like a radio or actor, this kind of theatrical presence, no?
Well, Dad has a really good
and
voice.
And he photographs well. Your father never takes
a bad
picture. Never. Never.
I don't know how he does it. I take the occasional good picture.
Well, you inherited that, the hamminess portion of
the
it.
The hammy, yeah. Totally. That presence, the ability or desire to tell stories.
Yeah. Yes.
Albeit over and over again, but yeah.
The sensitivity to any kind of medical procedure.
How do you mean?
Let's just say if anyone comes near you with a needle or any kind of medical device, both you and your father are, you know, taking a header on the floor there. So.
That's really, really true. So what are some of the negative things? You know, not to be too nasty, because you have to go home with me, but or not, or you can you can walk home from here. No, I'm kidding.
Would that lead in, David, in the reference to the gun before? I'm not saying a blessed thing.
Hold on. Come on. Like, a little the anger. I we both have anger issues. That's for sure. I mean, we're not hitters, but we're certainly screamers, and you know, we can jump from about 0 to 90 degrees of rage in about 4 seconds, and then back down again, and then back up again, and then back down again. That's one. I know that one. But any from an outside pair of eyes?
I would say not. You know, I would say...
You're being nice. Okay.
No. I would say that the good outweighs the bad. Like with old people, you know, everyone has things that they do and whatever. But, you know, I think you have to look at what are the... I would stress what are the parts of your personality that you modeled after your father and you modeled after your mother and stress those. I mean, your father's a wonderful presence during the Seder. I mean, no one reads like that.
Right.
Yeah, and he enjoys it and he... You know, makes it interesting, and he, you know, has a voice rather than someone who has an awful voice trying to muddle through.
Or can't control the flow of things.
On music. Your father gave you the love of music.
Yes.
How can you forget that?
I'm not forgetting him. I was asking you.
That's, to me, one of the most important things, I think. You know, he always prides himself, yourself, and your mom that when you were 3, you could choose records from a record vault or something, and you knew. So I think that's definitely something that, you know, that can't be discounted, David. You know, there are many things about both parents that you have that are, you know, quite wonderful. And especially this being your father's birthday show. Although your father's only 7, it's kind of hard to pick a lot of traits, David. He hasn't reached puberty.
Now, I'm wondering if this may be my father on the phone. Let's see if we can get him on there. WGBB, you're on the air.
This is your father.
Hey, Dad. Thanks for calling. Happy birthday. You just wanted to stop us talking in depth about you, I can tell.
Yeah, all those terrible things you were saying.
Now, I know you've been under the weather for part of the week. Are you better now?
I'm working my way out.
Good. Good.
Well, all right. That's good. You sound pretty good.
Yeah, you sound fine out of it.
Especially, this is the best I've felt in about 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well,
it's been a hell of a siege.
Oof.
Did you go to the doctor or anything like that, or just rest? Oh, okay.
Your mom medicated me.
Okay.
And,
I would be very careful about saying that on the air.
Is that code for sex of some sort?
What?
No, nothing. Yeah.
Well, between the Robitussin and the Coricidin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Well, but again, I'm glad that you're sounding better. Are there plans for birthday? Are you going to take that easy or what?
We're supposed to go with them on Thursday, David.
Health permitting.
Hopefully by Thursday it's going to be all over.
Oh, good. Knock wood.
Yeah.
That would be,
I mean, this is the end of quite a period of suffering. I mean, I have the cough was driving me crazy. One of those racking coughs.
Well, you don't have fever.
I was afraid to take my temperature.
Oh,
I didn't want to know.
Diarrhea?
No.
I love hearing about diarrhea, whether you had it or not.
No.
Oh, darn.
Sorry to disappoint you.
So anyway, Dad, I've got to wrap up the show because the gospel people are here, but I'm glad you called.
Yeah, thank you for calling, Abba.
You know I listen to this show whenever I can.
Yeah, because we need a demographic.
One. You're the number one fan, Abba.
Yeah, you're back to the number one because, Pam's friend, she may be listening, but I'm not too sure. And Pam is now the number two fan.
Yes.
So we're pushing
demoted.
The other friend to number three, and you're my number one fan right now. That may change next week, but at least for now.
For your birthday, or at least for the time around your birthday, you should be the number one fan.
I would think so.
So
that's nice to hear.
I love you. I love you very, very much.
Yes,
I love Mom, too.
Love
but
me.
This week I love you because you're my birthday. So happy 7.
Thank you.
So
you
explain how you figure out how 70 becomes 7.
Yeah, I think you covered that.
And may you have 70 more.
777.
Alavai.
Alavai.
Dad, let me ask you something.
With your mother.
I had this argument with my aunt earlier. It wasn't an argument. With my aunt Esther, who's my mother's sister, earlier in the day. When you want to say, oh, I wish, oh, like, inshallah, oh, it should only be.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say that? Huh?
Alavai.
Alavai or halavai?
Halavai.
With an H.
Yes.
Abba, please. Esther and David had a fight in the car for a half hour. I think this should be continued on to the next episode, David.
What did she
because
say?
She said the word is alavai without the H.
But you have to preface it. Esther was at the buffet and had a couple.
I wouldn't go to the bank with it, but.
Yeah. Oh, it's
I've always heard halavai.
I think we should contact Ima off the air, and she will be the final decision.
Is Mom sleeping for this?
I'm afraid so.
I think Mom took a lot of Robitussin in lieu of the show.
I'm wearing her out. She has to take care of me, you know.
Oh. Actually, we all have to get to sleep, and the folks have to get on the air. So, Dad, happy, happy birthday to you. Love you. Hope to see you on Friday this or Thursday this week before your birthday.
Right on.
Love you. Talk to you soon.
Okay,
bye-bye. All right, and bye-bye, everyone. But first, got to say thank you to our sponsors, MortgagesRock.com, Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, Hewlett Minuteman Press, and Fancy Schmancy Balloons. Want to give a shout-out to Jeff Goodman, who's in Thailand. He's a co-host on here fairly often. He's also my co-host on the show that we started doing on a Stony Brook station, WUSB, a few weeks back. Unfortunately, and I apologize to everyone who was hoping to hear the show this past early Friday morning, not only would Jeff not have been there because he's vacationing in Thailand, but I couldn't get there because of the horrible storm, so we weren't on. But hoping, knock wood, weather permitting, I will be in Stony Brook not this Friday, but the following, Friday, March 2nd, 3 a.m. to 6:30 in the morning with The Big Time. 3.5 hours of this. And maybe Joyce will join me. I hope she will, because she's, I think, really terrific on the radio and so supportive, and I love her so much. And
I think now it's time to get off and let the gospel people go.
I know. I got to thank my Aunt Bonnie.
Thank you, Aunt Bonnie. It was a wonderful interview. Good job,
Bonnie. She was so worried about how she would come out, and yet she has been a teacher for so many years, so she's so used to telling stories.
Yes, telling stories to little ones, not adults.
But it makes you clear, makes you precise, and it gives you a sense of pace.
I was waiting for cookies and nap time.
Well, I'm always waiting for cookies and nap time. Everybody, remember that you can hear the 100th episode of Dave's Gone By any time you want to at theaterpod.com, theaterpod.com. It's there. It's a sample episode. Hear the whole thing. And you can hear a vintage episode of Dave's Gone By, two different ones, every single week, Thursday and Saturday nights at 11 on Live365.com's DFSX radio channel. That's all very confusing. Just go to my website, davesgoneby.org, to find out the information. Okay, just want to tell you, gotta tune in next week. Today's show is special. Next week's show, David Bromberg. We've had some pretty legendary people in the music business on this show. People like Christine Lavin, Tom Paxton, Neil Sedaka, Jill Sobule. Next week, one of the finest country and bluegrass and folk guitarists, and also a pretty good songwriter and really fairly legendary and iconic in the industry since the late 60s, David Bromberg will be our guest, and we'll be playing some songs from his new CD, his first disc in 17 years. And coming up, hopefully, we're going to have, I think, a Carol Channing impersonator. That'll be kind of fun coming up. We'll also have, for St. Patrick's Day, a policeman, Lou Talano, who was the detective on whom it was either Starsky or Hutch was based. One of the two. We'll have to ask him. And then the crossword puzzle editor of Newsday, Stanley Newman, coming in just around that big crossword puzzle tournament they have in March. Plus, Jay Jacobs, the author of a new book on Tom Waits. So we've got wonderful guests coming up, but especially next week, David Bromberg, February 25th. So we will be back next Sunday, the 25th, with the 209th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you warmth, lots of ice melt, wishing my dad a happy birthday and 70 more.
And gone by.
First you dream about incredible things. Then you look, and suddenly you have wings. You can fly, you can fly. But first you dream. Now close your eyes. Come on, close your eyes. And imagine this, a glorious nighttime sky, a crescent moon, and the earth is far below as we fly in our plane. First you dream about remarkable times. Close your eyes and see how your spirit climbs. You can fly, you can soar, feel the wind, hear it roar. No trick, just don't look back. Whenever you're flying, you can never look back where you've been. You can only look where you're going. You ever see a bird look over his shoulder? No, there's only one way to go. Straight ahead. Here we are, high above the rooftops. There's a barn, there's a field of corn, and that little white house where another you was born. Isn't it fine? Isn't it fair, being up here, looking down there? Take my hand, I promise that I won't let you fall. Don't look back, the looking back could end it all.